thanks for tuning in to H-Town Wheelhouse and Astros Podcast, a podcast of Stros 411. Tonight, our special guest will be none other than the infamous John Boy. John Boy has made himself famous from his video recaps of the New York Yankees and, most recently, the controversial topic of Houston Astros and the alleged scandal that Major League Baseball is currently investigating. Now, I know a lot of Astros fans don't like the guy or they've had negative things to say about the guy, but I reached out to him a month ago and he agreed to come on. I think it's going to be a fun interview, it's going to be a good interview, and we'll talk about the 2020 season coming up. We'll discuss things like, are the Astros and Yankees actually rivals now? Will Gerrit Cole win a Cy Young in New York? Will Alex Bregman and DJ LeMahieu be fighting for another MVP with Mike Trout? Things like that. So stay tuned. I hope you enjoy the interview. H-Town Wheelhouse myself will have John Boy on straight from New York. Enjoy. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. This is H-Town Wheelhouse, and I am joined tonight by none other than John Boy from New York. John Boy, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Hope you had a great Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever you guys celebrate out there.
Yeah, definitely. It is for us, it is Christmas. I mean, you would think it was Christmas in July down here sometimes. Yeah. We go big or go home here in Texas. So how about you? Have you had a good holiday season so far?
I did. Christmas is huge for my family. We're all spread out, so it's the entire clan gets together, and it was like 5 days of, I barely looked at my phone, which is kind of wild for me, but it's really nice.
No, yeah, it's always good to get away, because I know for you, that's really, I mean, you've got the whole branding of John Boy Media, and so, you know, for you, it's really, I mean, it's what you do, it's how you're known. I know for me, it is something that is a hobby. It's something I do on the side, you know, for fun. But I want to jump in. I want to kind of tease a topic that we'll actually talk about later. And, you know, with all the banging and all the controversy, not to use puns, but do you think that John Boy is loved or hated by Astros fans?
I'd say I don't think loved by many. I think hated by a vocal minority and probably indifferent and annoyed. You know, if you look at my Twitter mentions, it's a lot of hate. If you look at my Twitter DMs and my emails, it's a lot of, hey, sorry about those guys. You know, do what you're doing or whatever. You know, I enjoyed you before. It just kind of is a bummer right now.
Exactly. No, yeah, I understand that. So what's that been like? Because I know I got to know you, I guess, about a year ago online, just watching your videos. I loved watching your recaps. I thought they were actually pretty funny and, you know, actually very insightful and very intelligent when it comes to baseball. And so I got to know you that way. Has it been a change of pace for you being that you've kind of drummed up, I guess, kind of stirred a hornet's nest a little bit? Has it been a little bit of a different approach that you felt like you've had to take, or you just not let it, you know, do you not let it phase you that much?
Yeah, I don't, the approach isn't different. I still do exactly what I have always done for 3 years now on Twitter. And the difference is that I have all these new people that follow, and they follow for one reason. And then they think that one reason is all I'm ever allowed to do. And it's like, well, for 2 years I've been doing jokes and talking about movies and music and, you know, all this other stuff. And some people followed because they thought I was a real reporter and then got mad when they found out I wasn't. And it was like, I never said I was. You know, people will say, like, stick to the Astros videos. And it's like, well, you know, I built the company before that Astros video came out. It's not really what we do. I mean, what we do is talk about baseball. And that was the biggest storyline in baseball. So no, it's all the same. I think the battle is, like I'm saying, and that's what was incredibly frustrating when we had people in Houston, like, I don't know their names because I'm not from Houston. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but there were some radio hosts that were, you know, quote tweeting everything.
Right.
And kind of just spreading all the falsehoods to people in Houston. And like, that was a battle. Cause it's like, I'm not a guy in my mom's basement going through hours right. of footage, only doing this because I'm a Yankees fan. Like, I built a company. We have a lot of employees now. Things are going well, you know, and we built it by covering baseball. And if there was the Pirates brawl happened half hour later, I had a video on it. If right. this manager got ejected, I had a video on it. So in the off season, when that Athletic report comes out, I make a video on it. That's just exactly the system that I have in place. So I don't think the content's really changed at all, or my day to day. It's just kind of people are seeing it through their own personal lens, and then they have to figure out what they're actually following or who I actually am.
Hey guys, I want to take a second to thank you for listening to my interview with John Boy. We've made some audio adjustments and hopefully some of the background noise that's been going on. We discovered the issue and took care of that. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the interview. It's really good. Doing commentary, was it something that you've always wanted to do? Is it something you kind of fell into? How did that all start?
Well, I always either wrote or made videos, and that was always writing was always for myself, and videos was for, you know, maybe a circle of friends or the 100 people that followed me on Twitter or Facebook when it was, you know, just friends. And then in 2017, I decided I was going to try and do some Yankees content. It was the only thing I'd never tried to make content off of because it was, you know, just my, as a fan, and I didn't want to become anything more than a fan, or I don't know, maybe I just didn't think there were people that were interested. And then in 2017, I said to my girlfriend, I had like, you know, 300 followers on Twitter, but they weren't Yankees followers or baseball followers. They were just kind of old accounts from college. But I said to my girlfriend, I said, I think I'm going to try and build up a, you know, a Yankees audience or try to become a blogger or something. And I just started live tweeting every game. So I taught myself how to make GIFs, taught myself how to make videos. I'm comfortable talking in front of a mic and answering questions. So I started doing a little podcast on YouTube that's now what Talking Yanks is. And it was going really well. It was picking up a lot of steam. And in 2018, I quit my job and did it full time.
Wow.
Yeah. So for like 2 years, 1.5 years, I lived off like basically, and enough to cover rent, and then just made as much content as I could doing Talking Yankees. Talking Yanks is the main podcast. That was the flagship one. We started a history one. We started a music one. We started a movies one. Anything I wanted to talk about, I just started making podcasts to talk about it, seeing which would take off. In 2017, I also started making like these breakdown videos for Yankees right. brawls or ejections or walk-off home runs, just making jokes, kind of like slowing it down and saying exactly what people did and where they went, stuff
right,
like that.
You're right.
And then in 2019, I kind of was mad at myself. I thought I didn't do enough in 2018. And I think that's going to be the case my whole life while I keep doing this, is to look back and think, got to do more. So I took it to like a national level in 2019. I made one video of Ron Culpa. Is that the umpire who told Hinch, yes, I can do whatever I want? And that was the first one I made that wasn't Yankees, I believe. And okay, I got a really good response. And I had people DM me that were like kind of high up places at the time, you know, like either reporters or investors or just, you know, people that are really respected in their field that like baseball. And they're DM me, they're like, hey, do more of these. So I kind of got the hint there. And then I just started doing those. They took off on YouTube, which was really cool because it was kind of like, you know, me and my partner Jake had been, like I said, doing this off no money, just hoping eventually it would be worthwhile and grow into something. And we thought it would. We thought we were like, you know, a couple years away, but we were dedicated. And then the YouTube takes off, the Savages in the Box takes off, our merch right. store takes off, and suddenly, you know, we have multiple revenue streams, and like we look at each other and we're like, we got a real company.
We can afford groceries now, and maybe to take our girlfriends out on dates every now and then. So we just kept going. We started talking baseball. Once we had more of the breakdowns got us a national audience, you know? So we're like, well, okay, right. If we have the audience for talking baseball, we'd love to do it. And the whole thing is just kind of like, what is our audience like? What do they want? Like, they want videos, they want podcasts. We'll give it to them. We started writing, we kind of stopped writing, and we're deciding now if we want to go back into that. So I forget the original question. I think I just kind of rambled forever, but that's been the path. That's been the path. And now we have, you know, we're doing really well. We have a company, we have employees. I run payroll, which is the scariest thing one can do. I found.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So it's going really well now. It's been a ton of fun.
What? No, that's excellent. Cause, I do remember the Ron Coppola, you know, of course, I think everybody remembers, you know, the Savages in the Box. I love your commentary, along with it, where like you're basically, I watch your most recent one. I think it's your most recent one, with the Mexican League fight. Was that recent?
Yeah, that was from today. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I tuned in that today. I was like, oh my God, that's just good stuff. And you definitely have a knack for it. And, you know, hey, even though you're a Yankees fan and, you know, down here we call y'all the Evil Empire. I think it's really cool what you've been able to build. And I mean, that's definitely admirable to see like where you came from, you know, to where you are. So that's, you know, definitely something that if people are listening and they haven't really looked you up much, y'all definitely need to look up John Boy on Twitter, on YouTube. Now I've got a question about the Astros and Yankees. I would say that since 2015, the Astros and Yankees have become familiar foes, especially in the postseason. And we have been, it seems like, the hump that the Yankees haven't been able to get over. And for Astros fans, that's been somewhat, I guess, satisfying because it's the New York Yankees. I mean, you know, you guys have the 27 titles. You guys have the history. You have the Marises, the Mantles, the DiMaggios, the Ruths, you know, I mean, all those guys. And I know Houston versus New York is not Boston versus New York. And so I'm not trying to put it as a rival on that level. But do you think since we've battled so many times in recent years, would you consider the Astros and the Yankees rivals?
I think we got to find a different word. And you said familiar foes, and that kind of works. But, like, no, the Yankees have one rivalry. It's the Red Sox. I'm not going to spend my time hating on the Astros, which a lot of people probably laugh at because they think I do. But I do think with this last ALCS, there's something there. Like, there's some added energy. But, my point is, the Astros are very, very good, and the Yankees are very, very good. So they're going to be somewhat of a rivalry because they're the two best teams. It has nothing to do with the players on the field, the regional location of the team, the managers, the fan. Like, you know what I mean? The only thing that makes them a rivalry is that they're both very good and have matched up in the LCS twice. The Red Sox are a rivalry because it's proximity, you know? Like, the Texas Rangers aren't good right now, but I'm sure regular season games against them, you really want to win. Yeah, when the Red Sox aren't, when the Red Sox aren't good, regular season games versus them, I really want to win. Regular season games versus the Astros, they're just a regular season game. Does that make sense?
No, so like, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yes and no. And obviously, you guys have bested us. I say two times. Astros fans like to throw in 2015. We had Rob Refsnyder starting in Greg Bird. There was no way we were winning, and I don't think any Yankee fan thought we were. But 17 and 19, for sure, you guys have been the team we can't get past. And if it does happen and we meet up in the ALCS again, the Yankees will win. There will be an added sense of like, finally beat those guys. So there's something. There's something. But like rivalry – the Red Sox are a rivalry because no matter if they're good or bad, whoever's wearing the uniform, no matter what, I want to beat them every single game, and I'm gonna I sit a little further up in my seat. The Astros, so it's just kind of like it's like when Ohio State and Florida were in the finals in like basketball and football in the same year, and you had like a 1 year rivalry. It's like, yeah, because both teams are good.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. I just know, you know, like I said, I think for us in Houston, we kind of feel like we have this complex, like everybody kind of picks on us, you know, and we're like, hey, look, they're the Yankees, and we want to. It's not necessarily we want to be like them, but it's like we want to beat them. And so, you know, that's what, you know, I wanted to get your take, but that makes a lot of sense because when it comes to Astros and Rangers, we are rivals, and you're right. It is all about proximity. It's all about region. But I think y'all's rivalry with the Red Sox is really, I think, unparalleled. I think it's even greater than Duke, North Carolina. I just think that what y'all have there, the sentiment, the playoff pass, the, you know, Boone, I mean all these specific events you can think of, these just storied matchups that y'all have had with them, it's unlike any other. Now,
do you know the story about Doug Mirabelli?
I don't.
So Tim Wakefield had a personal catcher, Doug Mirabelli. Okay. They got rid of him, or he was a free agent. He signed somewhere else. And the Red Sox and Wakefield realized that was a mistake. And they were like, we need Doug back. So they're trying to trade for him. There's this whole cool documentary. They traded for Doug Mirabelli. He took a limo ride, or, you know, he was police escort, and he's putting his cleats and his uniform on in the car to get to Fenway for a game against the Yankees. As this is happening, the Yankees were actively trying to trade for Doug Mirabelli and offer a better package just to spite the Red Sox. Wow. That's a rivalry.
Yeah, that's true. That's what colleges do. That's when colleges stack their quarterback position five deep with four-star recruits so that their rival school won't get them, right? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so you guys just recently, I think, had the signing of the decade to end the decade. Sadly enough, Garrett Cole had really endeared himself to us as Astros fans. I think I was a little delusional in the fact that I was like, I figured if Astros at least won the World Series, I'm thinking Garrett Cole stays. But I'm thinking even if we had won, I'm thinking he's going to New York after just reading up on his past, how he grew up, you know, how hard the Yankees were going after the guy. And he just missed the Cy Young. I honestly think he probably should have won the Cy Young. I know a lot of people thought Verlander deserved it, but I just think with his numbers, you know, and I joked with him. I was going to share this with you. We met him. There's a local autograph store called Fitterman Sports, and they brought in Garrett Cole one day, and my son and I met him. We took a picture with him, got his autograph on a real nice picture. And I told him, I said, if you'd like me to, Garrett, I'll start a GoFundMe account to help pay for your contract. And he just, you know, he thought that was funny, but, you know, he sat there and talked to us. And like, when I heard he was going to the Yankees, it was almost like the girl went to prom with you, but now that y'all graduated, like, she's moved on to bigger, better things. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm like, Garrett Cole's leaving. Like, this sucks, you know? But with that being said, do you think in a Yankees uniform, he makes a real bid again for the Cy Young?
I hope so, man. I really hope so. He's really good, right? So the thing is, he's really good. And the Astros are really good at, I'll call it, like, manicuring talent, right? Because he had all the talent. Verlander had all the talent. Verlander was struggling. And then, you know, the Astros and Brent Strom are fantastic. And they do have a little special a pine tar lotion over there. I don't know if you know about that. But they I'm not being a jerk. The Astros make their own pine tar.
Okay.
And I hope Cole steals a couple of it. It's all legal. I don't care about pine tar. Everyone uses it.
Right.
I've asked around. They're like, yeah, the Yankees are trying to make their own too. It's like Coca-Cola, pine tar, and they boil it and then they keep it in the dugout. It's cool. So I need Cole or some bat boy from Houston to ship that over to New York.
Interesting. But, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like a little bad kept secret. But no one cares about Pinecar. So, I mean,
right.
I hope no one thinks I'm trying to be a jerk here. I think it's funny.
No, man. No, I get it.
I hope Cole can replicate it. I really do, because we're paying him a ton of money. Now, I said beforehand that, like, whoever pays for Cole, be it the Yankees or the Angels, before he signed, I said, you're paying for a season that is not, like, going to be easily to duplicate. You know what I mean? Like, his season last year with you guys was fantastic, and you're basically paying him as if it's a lock. He's going to have nine more of those, knowing that he won't. And if he has three more, hopefully they're all together in a row while the rest of the team's going good. But then, of course, he doesn't need to be that good to help the Yankees immensely. He can be a third of that and still be amazing for the Yankees, because they needed an ace. So I hope that he's getting Cy Young votes in pinstripes. That would be really cool. I'll take the win streak, you know? Like, if you give me Cole's year or Verlander's year, Verlander got the Cy Young, I'd take Cole's in an instant over Verlander's, just because of that win streak. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was. My son and I were at the ALDS where he struck out 15 batters. And I remember looking at my son's 11. And I said, I don't know if you realize this, you just watched one of the most amazing pitching performances, like, in all major league history. I said, you'll probably not see another performance like that, ever, like, in this ballpark, because I was like, he's throwing in hundreds. It's unbelievable what he did that night. We were just astonished. So with him being there, do you think Gerrit Cole is what him leaving Houston and going to New York? Do you think that what pushes New York over at the Astros as being the favorite solely because of him? Or do you think there are other factors in that kind of, because I would say y'all are one and we are two going into the preseason, where last year it was like clear cut, the Astros were number one. Do you think Cole takes you over? Do you think it's Cole plus some that really puts you guys at the top now?
Well, I don't even know who your guys' four and five are. Is it Urquidy and Valdez?
Urquidy will be the four. Five is going to be – it could be a combination. I don't know. It could be Peacock. It could be this Abreu kid who I think is going to be in the bullpen. We've got Cy Snead. We've got this other kid, Dean Dietz, that no one's talking about. We've got four or five really unsure – unproven arms that could fill in. I think they're going to platoon some guys at the five spot early on, you know, because we lost Miley, because they weren't going to pay him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, our five is really shaky. But I don't know, like, I want Lance McCullers Jr. to be effective, but I don't know how he's going to be coming off of Tommy John, because how hard he throws, and he depends on his off speed and, you know, his knuckle curve a lot. And I don't know how much wear and tear on his elbow he's going to be able to take throughout the season. So I think they're probably going to limit his innings. So it is a question after, you know, one and two solid, you know, JV and Greinke, then you got LMJ. I think Urquidy's going to be fine. Honestly, Jumbo, I think Urquidy could possibly get himself in the conversation for Rookie of the Year if he goes out and just pitches the way he did this last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with you guys, is that rotation, like, doesn't Verlander and Greinke are obviously amazing, but then it's kind of like, well, McCullers, you don't know, or Keedy's.
Right.
And it's not specifically him. And Yankees fans that listen to my podcast had to figure this out for a while. Like, I'm very suspect of rookies. Like, I am not going to put any, stock into someone who hasn't done it for at least a full season. So it's not him, but, like, it's like, oh, okay. But if there's any team that's going to just, like, oh yeah, well, of course they're good because they're the Astros. It's the Astros. They're going to make pitchers out of guys who you didn't think they were going to make pitchers out of. I thought if you guys got Wheeler, you'd turn him into Cole anyway, just because he's got the arm talent.
You know, I you know, for the Astros, I think this year it's purely budgetary. I mean, we're at like, I think the final like total is $237 million, where last year, where next year we drop down to like, $167 million or something. I mean, it's a huge drop from this year to last year. I mean, this year to next year, you know, 2021, but I think it's been purely budgetary. I think they wanted Wheeler. I heard reports that they offered Cole 7 years, $260 million. I still think Cole is gone anyways. But, yeah, I think the Astros and the Yankees, I think they're going to be in the ALCS at the end. We'll actually hit on that later. Let me ask you this. And you may have already hit on it, but what is one thing that you admire about the Houston Astros? I mean, since this is an Astros podcast, you know, we're going to kind of hyper-focus on the Astros.
Is it
just what they do with the players and their pitching? And
yeah, the pitching is obviously, you know, pretty commendable, pretty awesome. But, I mean, I've said forever that, you know, outside of Yankees, Verlander's my favorite pitcher to watch, and Altuve is my favorite player to watch. I mean, I'm a short guy, so Altuve, I mean, he's like, yeah, he can do it. He's the exception. I'm the rule, but I'll root for him. So I like Altuve a whole bunch. And Verlander, I'll keep it PG, but I call him FU fastballs. And he is the biggest. Like, he sees that 7, 8, 9 in the lineup, and he just – I don't care who you are. I just throw a fastball high, and you won't hit it. I think it's so impressive. I mean, he walks around with his balls on the ground sometimes. His no hitter last season, that is like I said, I would have taken Cole's year last year, but when Verlander has it going and he knows he's got it going, I think he's the most fun pitcher to watch. So I mean, and then you have this young core. I mean, Bregman, Correa, Altuve, right. Uriel, Springer, maybe Yordan now. Alvarez,
dude, I think Yordan, I think a full season of Yordan Alvarez, I think he's going to just absolutely obliterate the baseball.
Did he go through? So this is what I'm going to do now. I'm sorry that I'm stalling, but Yordan Alvarez, how many games did he play last year? 87. Pretty good.
Yeah. Nice. So he had a really good sample size. And I think he cooled off a little bit in the playoffs, because I think the playoffs are the playoffs are such a horrible indicator of how good a player is, because you have the best guys going and it's in such a small sample size, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7 games, and you're seeing the best of the best, right? Those are the best teams, the best pitchers, the best pitching staffs. And, you know, Yordan Alvarez, I don't know if you know this, but last year he actually set a record. I forget how many pitchers it was, but he faced like 42 different pitchers in like 23 innings or something. I mean, it was insane, like how many innings he played, but he had faced more pitchers than anybody ever in the major leagues in a certain amount of either games or innings. It was unreal, because there was all that situational stuff. Well, this year, they're not going to be able to do that, because they changed the rule now where you have to stand for 3 batters. So there's not going to be as many situational lefty situations going on. But, man, Alvarez, the guy's smart. He's intelligent. He's patient. He's got a quiet presence, you know. He carries a big stick, but he speaks softly. And I think that goes well with this ball club, because we've got our lightning rods. You know, we've got our Bregmans. We've got our Springers. And then we got Altuve and we got Alvarez, and you know, you got Yuli, who's always a threat. And I'm telling you, John Boy, I really think Kyle Tucker is going to take Josh Reddick's job. I think Josh Reddick's going to be riding the pine a lot this year.
Well, Josh Reddick follows me on Twitter and has great great hair flips. So he's my best friend. So he's going to, you know, probably get AL MVP votes.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I love Josh Reddick as a player. I think he's been phenomenal in Houston. It's not to take anything away from him, but I think it's a make or break year for Kyle Tucker. And I think Kyle Tucker's probably going to be motivated. I don't know. You know, when Kyle Tucker came up last year, I don't know if you know this, Josh Reddick hit almost .500. When the second Tucker came up, Josh Reddick caught fire, and he was playing like a man
who is, like, you know, playing for his job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know. I just I think the Astros got a lot going for them offensively and defensively. I think for us, our biggest question mark, like you mentioned, is going to be our rotation. So
which is – that's kind of new for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's not something we've really had to worry about. You know, it's interesting. Like, it's like, what would have happened if we had held on to Charlie Morton? You know, how would that have looked? I think we would have won the World Series had we had Charlie Morton on that staff, but they also wouldn't have traded for Greinke. So, you know, should have, would have, could have, but didn't, right? It's always, hindsight's always 20/20.
Oh, yeah. Yankees can play that game with not trading for Cole and not getting Verlander, and a lot of Yankees fans do, and it's a waste of everyone's time every time they do it. What are you going to do, you know?
It is, definitely.
I was going to say something, but I forgot. Yeah. Damn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nah, my bad. It was
something. No, it's okay. Well, so you know, with the recent news now, it seems like there's been hardly anything spoken of or talked about as far as the latest controversy, what obviously what has been discovered or gone on in the offseason. I know you've really caught you caught a lot of attention with your videos with the banging and you know, covering this controversy that the Astros are kind of embroiled in. But have you heard anything as to a timeline or what decisions are going to be made? Or, I mean, is the fact that they're dragging their feet, is that a good thing for the Astros, or is it worse the longer they have to wait? What do you think?
I don't know anymore. You know, we do get, like, you know, at winter meetings, they said it would be in 2020. It has to be before the season starts. I think they're doing a thorough investigation. The report came out, you know, like, I forget the numbers, but it was like, you know, thousands of interviews. They're reading all the emails. They're reading the Slack chains. So they said it's the most thorough investigation. The biggest thing that I heard from, I'll give him credit if I could think of his name, Don LaGreca on ESPN Radio out here on the Michael Kay Show.
Okay.
Everyone kind of agrees that this is Manfred's moment, right? Like, if the investigation finds that this was in place, and I think, I don't know where you stand on this, but I think we can all agree that the banging is real, and the only way that you would know the banging is from cameras. Well, I don't know, still disputing that, but because the deductive reason just basically leads you to, it had to be cameras. There's no other way around it. So what I'm saying is, if this is the biggest scandal during Manfred's time as commissioner and how he's going to be remembered, what has happened in the past? Bud Selig did nothing about steroids, and he's kind of thought of as a bad commissioner. And you know, the guy, I'm blanking on his name, it's just G and it's Italian, but he banned Pete Rose, and we haven't had a gambling scandal since.
And yeah, Bartlett Giamatti.
Yeah, Giamatti. Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically like, if you're Manfred, aren't you going to lean more towards overly harsh? Because if this is your reputation, it all depends on what the investigation finds. So we don't know what they're going to find in 2018 and 2019. If you're an Astros fan, I'm guessing Astros fans listen to this, there is no way that they would have the signs and be able to relay them that quick by banging a trash can for multitudes of pitchers throughout the course of 3 months if it wasn't a camera giving them the signs. There's no other explanation. So and you have some players on record, and you know, so I think that at the very least they're going to confirm that 2017 the Astros cheated using cameras to relay signs to the batter, and this is the punishment. That's going to be the very best.
Okay. See, Pete Rose was interviewed recently. The same guy that did the autograph signing for Gerrit Cole is the exclusive autograph guy for Pete Rose. And Pete Rose was interviewed on local news station ABC 13, and they asked him about that. And he said, you know, I went up to the plate, 4,000 something times or whatever. He said, I can't imagine having the time to be able to decipher between what was coming, listening for a sound, remember. And he goes, I just find it really hard to believe that was the thing that they were doing. He said, now, I don't know all the ins and the outs, but I just thought it was an interesting take from him on the whole controversy. I do know that I got this random message on my Facebook group from a guy who said, hey, I saw this whistling video, and there is a whistle that they're claiming is the, like they say, it's this charge whistle that was one of the whistles used when they were up to bat. And he said, I was at that game, the games that they show, I was at those games, I'm a season ticket holder, I sit in the upper deck, and my whistle can be heard all over Minute Maid Park. And he said, I'm trying to get a hold of the Astros to let them know that, hey, that was me whistling. It wasn't someone in the dugout. And I thought it was really weird. Like the guy, I talked to him for a couple weeks, and I tried to follow up with some leads with some people, and no one really wanted to mess with it. But I just thought that was interesting that this guy came out of the woodworks and like sent me a DM through Facebook. And it's like, hey, I'm the guy doing the charge whistle. And he sent me like all these videos. He's like, yeah, this is me at this mark at, you know, 1:15 or whatever the timestamps are. He's like, that was me whistling. That was me whistling. And I thought it was interesting. So whether I don't know to what extent. I know something occurred. I know something happened. It's just this has been my take. My take is that they're like the Astros aren't the only team that has done this or has been doing this, okay? And I'm not saying that as a what about is. I'm like, well, what about these guys? What about like justifying a wrong by showing someone else that's done wrong, right? So I'm not using this to justify any wrongdoings, but this is my feeling. In my heart of hearts, I believe that the MLB is hyper focusing on the Astros and not on anything else, because this could turn into a steroid era type of scandal. If you have multiple teams that are doing the same thing, to me, it makes you want the steroid era back as baseball, because at least the steroid era brought you more revenue and brought your fan base back. You know what I'm saying? That's completely conspiracy theory. I have no like sources. I don't have any evidence to back that up, but I'm like, why would baseball want to investigate all these other teams? Because they can make one team the scapegoat. One team is, these guys did it. Well, nail them to the wall. We'll scare the you-know-what out of everybody so nobody ever does it again. That's my biggest fear, is that they hand out lifetime bans to people or you know, major suspensions to either coaching staff or executives, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's in MLB's best interest to punish the Astros and say they didn't find it anywhere else publicly, and then internally go to the teams where they did find it and say, hey, we know you were doing this. I totally get that conspiracy theory, because if they say this is league wide, every team's doing this, you lose a ton of fans. You lose trust of all the fan bases if you can pin it on just one team. But my question then is, how come? And I do believe every team is trying to get an advantage in some way. And obviously, a lot of Astros fans point out that the Red Sox got caught in 2017 with the iPhone Apple Watches.
Yeah.
What's different about that is the Red Sox admitted to it right away, because what they were doing was decoding the catcher's sequences by running them through an algorithm and then sending it to a guy wearing an Apple Watch in the dugout, and he would send it to the runner on second base. Mm. So that's the wow. So it only worked when a runner was on second base. They didn't have cameras on the catcher's fingers. That's the major difference.
Okay, right.
It makes between sense. Between those two. And then they also said the Yankees also got punished in that same thing, because the Red Sox turned around and said the Yankees were using Yes Network cameras. The league investigated that. They said they weren't using Yes Network cameras, but they fined them for misuse of bullpen cameras, which could have been the same thing, you know, or it could have been, you know, some guy called his girlfriend. Most likely it was something like relaying signs. But the difference is the camera on the catcher's fingers. Instead of, there's still some gamesmanship and having to pick up the signs and having to have a runner on second base. Those are the two instances we know about recently. I do think all teams are trying to get an advantage. You know, why we've seen the Blue Jays had someone in the hotel and other people had, you know, a light in the scoreboard. We've seen a bunch of stuff in the past. Why is everyone pointing their finger at the Astros, though? That's what I don't get. Like, throughout all of this, fires came out. A lot of other players. You had Carson Smith. You had Plouffe. You had a bunch of other players all say, yeah, I heard this, and I heard this, and I heard this.
Right.
We haven't heard it about other teams. Now, I'm not saying other teams aren't doing it, but why is everyone so excited or eager to just point at one team? Like, are the Astros just doing it the most brazen, the most cocky, or are they just doing it the best and also have the most skilled players, so it's like a double whammy? At this point, you would think someone would come out and say, hey – and we had the Yu Darvish clip, but that was nonsense. And we haven't really had, like, anything.
No, that's true. You know, the whole Mike Fiers thing, I know there's probably, I would say, 100% consensus that he comes across as a disgruntled guy that was left off the playoff roster that never kind of got his, and that if he had such an issue with it, then he would, you know, A, he would probably give back his World Series ring if he got one. Because it would be quote unquote illegitimate. But that's, you know, like I think Mike Fiers turned himself instantly into like the most hated person in like Houston history. I mean, even more hated than you know, Santa Ana when he was a dictator. And we won our independence. You know what I'm saying?
The storyline of disgruntled is fine, but it still adds up if it's real. You know what I mean?
If it's legit and everything, I'm just saying the perception of that is just like, oh, this guy's just a freaking crybaby. I mean, he also has a history of, since he's been with Oakland or since he's been off our team, of making pretty snarky like remarks pregame and stuff. And so he's always kind of come off as like, dude, just shut up. Like, if you're going to compete against us, whatever, but just like shut your mouth and like throw the ball, you know. That's, and
well,
so
I got a theory for you.
Go ahead.
Do you think that maybe the 1.2 innings pitched, 6 earned runs in Houston on April 7th, or the 1 inning pitched, 9 earned runs in Houston on September 9th, maybe it was like Fiers was like, well, they're doing it to me
what?
Now.
You know what? I forgot about that. You're right. Oh yeah, he was. And that is another thing. One of my friends who's a select baseball coach, he's like, "Oh, Fiers just pissed off because we drummed him both times." He's like, he was going on and on about. I had forgotten about that.
Maybe that drumming is Fiers thinking, "Damn, it's not fun when the Ravens got the gun and I'm the pitcher getting shelled."
True. Yeah, you know, it's just. I think at the end of the day, it sucks, because I'll tell you this, and this is for Yankees fans or people outside of Houston. This is why something like this really bothers us. Number one, we really pride ourselves in being very, very hardworking. You know, in 2017, when Harvey hit, I didn't hear one person saying, well, since we've been through this hurricane, we deserve a World Series. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've never had this. We deserve something mentality. Like, we've never had the it's ours or whatever, but we won that championship in that year, and everything culminated in 2017. And for us as a fan base, we feel like people are out to take that title from us when we feel like, you know, we earned it and we deserved it. And so that's why if other fan bases look at us and we seem like we're crying over spilt milk or we just can't get over it. It's because for us, it's personal. For us, you know what I'm saying? We don't have the luxury of the storied past of the other clubs, and we don't want to be the other clubs. We don't want to be the Yankees. We don't want to be the Dodgers. We don't want to be the Cubs. We want to be the Houston Astros. We want to be, you know, we were our freaking ownership was extorted by MLB and told the only way you can sell to the Jim Crane Group is if you go to the American League. When everybody knew the Brewers were supposed to go, but they didn't go because Bud Selig's daughter was an executive in the Brewers organization. So she's like, "Daddy, I don't want to go to the AL." So we had to go to the AL. So we got forced into this thing. And so there just been things that really have rubbed people the wrong way throughout the years as a Houston fan base. And so when this came up, it was like a worst case scenario. We're like, are you serious? Like the only title we have, and now everybody thinks it's illegitimate and we're all cheaters and all our players are cheaters. And it's just like, this absolutely sucks because this isn't who we are. This isn't who our players are. You know what I'm saying? It's from our perspective, it's been brutal.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, for any fan base who's told like, hey, you cheated when you had the best season ever and you finally won a World Series. And I mean, listen, no matter what the investigation says, fans are going to throw it in your face forever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer. But I mean, also, I think what Houston fans have to understand, and it's something that Yankee fans have understood for a while, is that if you're really good, people hate you. The Warriors were America's darling, and then everyone hated them.
True.
If you win a lot and you're expected to win, you're hated. And when you have guys like Bregman, and I think Bregman's great for the game, and I love guys that enjoy playing the heel and feel comfortable in their own skin. But Bregman is he wants to be hated. I mean, if he says if he says otherwise, I kind of don't believe him because he is who he is. He talks trash. He makes jokes. He makes pompous remarks. Like, I love it. I think it's great for the game. I think when you have a player that's hated by some and loved by others, like, that's good for baseball. But, I mean, that just adds to the fuel that, like, when you win 100 games 3 years in a row and you're in the ALCS 3 years in a row and you have that national spotlight and you have guys that are, like, very cocky and confident in themselves, you're going to get a lot of hate. And then you throw this onto the fire, and now all that cockiness is put into question, and it really comes crashing down. And I don't know. It'll be interesting what happens here, because Hinch's reputation is fully on the line from one of the more likable, well respected guys in baseball to a total pompous jerk. It's a coin flip.
No, you're right. And that's I think some of the things that I hate the most is because, you know, I know what AJ Hinch has done in this community, the name he's built up, the respect he even has from his rivals, from Dave Roberts, from all the other guys that he manages against. They've never had anything negative to say about the guy. And I remember when he was questioned about it in the media, whether it was in the playoffs, and he was like, well, we need names and all this stuff and all these things he said in public. And you're just like hoping, okay, please God, don't let this be a reality, because like to see him go down in a blaze of glory just would not be cool. You know, it just, you know, it would, I think, absolutely suck, because I think he is a good manager and I think he does care about his players. And I've got a question about this, just to kind of curveball a little bit. Do you think if they give the management in Houston any punishment, do you think if they find that Carlos Beltran and or Alex Cora were directly involved in, coming up with this scheme or whatever happened, do you think that Major League Baseball will also punish them, or do you think that they're kind of safe because they're in other cities?
Well, I think Beltran's safe because he was a player on the team. And if you punish Beltran, then you have to punish Altuve. You have to punish Spring. You have to punish 30 guys, right?
Right.
So now if you want to punish the guys that had authority in the room, Cora kind of lands there. So maybe. But if you're going to punish the guys who had authority because you don't want to punish 30 guys, it's really just going to land on Lunau and Hinch. And they're going to set the tone with those two guys. That's my thinking on it. And, so I do think Beltran's safe because he was just a player, unless they find out like he 100% invented the system and it was all
right.
him, and who knows? So I think he's safe. And I think Cora is going to be kind of safe too. Now, from what I heard, and I don't know if this is a known rumor in Houston, and it may very well be, is that Hinch wanted Cora as far away from him as he could get him. Like, Hinch was done with Cora and wanted him out. Yeah, I heard that Hinch was ready. Cora wasn't coming back under Hinch, if you didn't get another job.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. That's interesting. All right. So, hey, let's do this. Let's wrap this up with some. I'm going to give you some quick fire questions: buy or sell. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you this first topic, and we already hit on it: buy or sell? Garrett Cole wins the Cy Young in 2020.
Sell. I'm not going to bank on that, or I'm not going to make that a goal of his. Just give me some wins. give me a compete every start. I don't need that much pressure on him.
Awesome. Okay. Buy or sell? Alex Bregman, DJ LeMahieu, and Mike Trout are top three in the MVP in 2020.
Sell. I'm a Yankee fan. I'd much rather see Judge in there, or Stan as a redemption story. DJ had his season. If he does it, obviously I'd be thrilled. I love him, but I'd rather buy on full season.
Okay. Buy or sell? The Chicago White Sox have positioned themselves to win the AL Central.
I love what the White Sox are doing, and they needed to do this. I'll buy on that one. The Indians want to not try. They are the team. they look at the Orioles and the Tigers with like jealous eyes. They're like, oh my God, if we could only sell and not contend. They've been desperate to not compete for a while now. The Twins just got pillaged, and their rotation is good, but it's not fantastic. And they kind of had a magic season. So I'll buy on the White Sox because I'm kind of a fan of them for a moment right now. I think they had a really fun clubhouse last year, and I think they've made some good moves in this offseason.
Yeah, they've got the veteran Abreu, they've got the young superstar coming up, Eloy Jimenez. You know, they just signed Keuchel. I mean, they've made some stellar moves. So because they are my pick to win the Central. Now, buy or sell, the Blue Jays make it to the wild card.
Sell. It's a tough. Who's their rotation? Ryu going from the NL West to the AL East. I'm a AL East snob. Smaller ballparks, DH. It's
okay.
A lot more hitters. A lot less guys that platoon. So I like the Blue Jays young guys. They're still a little bit away. And the Rays are still good. Yankees are good. And then, that's a close one. I'm going to sell on it. But.
Okay. And my last one, the Astros and the Yankees will play in the ALCS.
Yeah, let's do it again. let's finish it. It's two, and the Yankees have lost. And like I said, I still don't think rivalry is the right word, but there would be some added oomph to it if that's the matchup and the Yankees finally do win.
Okay. Well, good deal. Well, John Boy, I appreciate you coming on H-Town Wheelhouse today. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your insight. And, you know, for those of y'all listening, just know that, hey, he may be an opposing fan base. He may be a part of what we call in the South the evil empire. But John Boy is a really good guy. He loves baseball. And definitely, if y'all don't follow him on Twitter, do so. Check him out on YouTube. So what is your handle on Twitter, and what is your YouTube channel called?
At John Boy with an underscore at the end is the Twitter. And then John Boy Media on YouTube or Instagram will get you videos only. You can stay away from my Yankee opinions.
No, hey, you know what? You are entitled to that. And just like I said, I admire you from where you came from, the sacrifices you made to quit your job and do this full time. It's a really, really cool story. I mean, that's really kind of what this country is all about, you know, working hard and your hard work paying off. So, man, you definitely planned your work and worked your plan, like my dad would say. But I appreciate you coming on. Maybe we can talk in the future, maybe around spring training time or something. We can hook up again.
Yeah. We want to do a lot of stuff and talking baseball about, all different teams. So I'll reach out come spring.
Okay. Yeah, man. And if you need a supplemental guest from Houston, let me know. I'd love to join you there as well.
Sounds good.
All right, John Boy, you have a good one, and y'all have a happy new year. I'm out. This is H-Town Wheelhouse. Thanks for tuning in.